Mr. Mayne.
Chairman, just appreciate the candour in the earlier comments on ABC Learning, that the banker involved was retrenched, that it came out of the Sydney office. But just to clarify on Ralph's last comment about the security, clearly there's no chance of getting the $450 million. I mean, that's unsecured. We rank behind the local florist or news agent. So I'm presuming that must be the biggest loss in the bank's history. Are you aware of another account where we've just lost, without doubt, $450 million to start with?
I think the issue here is that certainly the notes are at this point valueless, and certainly there's no they have no ranking of any significance, so you are absolutely right there. In regard to the history of loans or whatever, I've been chief executive for 3 years, and there's no doubt that in my 3 years as chief executive this is the largest write-off that we've had. And as I said earlier, Mr. Mayne, it's something that aggrieves me, and certainly I'm not happy about it, and certainly the board's not happy about it, and my senior management team are not happy about it, and certainly I have concerns, as I said earlier, about the information that was provided to us in order for us to have actually actioned that particular provision or accommodation to ABC. So I'll leave it at that at this point.
Well, I must admit I'm a bit nervous about the other $240 million, because I went to the AGM of IMF last week in Sydney, they're the litigation funder, and they said that the charge by the banks was only taken in June this year, and they used a phrase to say it was still green, i.e. it's got to be there for 6 months before a company collapses. So they're challenging it in court. So we dropped the 450, there's another 240 on the line, we've only at 5 minutes to midnight whacked the charge on. 500 of the centres are actually sitting in the Australian Education Trust, so we don't actually have much security over the centres. So it's a pretty scary situation. We could be dropping another 100, 150. The two other points I wanted to raise were, there's a piece in The Australian by John Jury on May the 8th saying that that Centro had won a last-minute reprieve from its banks after a last-minute intervention by Sir Rod Eddington, who was chairman of JP Morgan Australia. And it talks about there were late-night talks between Sir Rod and CBA boss Ralph Norris. Now, as someone who's, I own 750 stocks, tiny holdings, so I'm in everything that moves in the market. So I'm in all the Centro stocks. Now, in a situation like Centro, the Commonwealth Bank is the largest shareholder. So the Commonwealth Bank sits there with, what, 7 or 8% in both Centro Retail and Centro Properties Group. You've smoked $600 million on behalf of your funds management clients in Centro. Now, what I don't understand is when Sir Rod Eddington rings you late at night to talk about rolling over a $1 billion exposure that we have to Centro, $160 million of which is unsecured, how can you even take the call when you also know that the Commonwealth Bank, on behalf of millions of Australian superannuants, have dropped $500 million on the equity side? So when you take that call, are you speaking as a banker trying to recover $1.1 billion? Or are you speaking as the ultimate man in charge of a funds management operation that desperately wants a rollover, that wants to salvage something from the wreck in the case of your funds management clients, of $600 million? So how do you deal with the supposed Chinese wall when you're the CEO of the whole show and you're getting these calls from other bankers late at night?
Well, Mr. Mayne, yes, I did take a call from Sir Rod Eddington, and I have to say that my definition of late night and John Jury's probably is significantly different, because I took that call at 5:25 p.m. And so therefore I generally find that as being fairly early in my day. But the reason I took that phone call was, yes, there were issues around documentation. It had nothing to do specifically with whether or not we should actually be involved in a process. The process was that we were putting in place a memorandum of understanding. And Sir Rod was concerned that we had not signed it. And the reason that we had not signed it was that there were 15 material errors in that 200-page memorandum of understanding. And my people were insisting, and I was obviously supporting them, that we would not sign that particular memorandum until those 15 errors had been corrected. I don't understand how a number of other banks had not come to the same conclusion that the documentation was flawed. So that was the reason why the document, why the discussion took place. And we certainly made sure that those 15 errors were corrected before we actually signed the document. So it was an issue over a document. The other matter in regard to our Colonial First State operations, I do not get involved in the picking of stocks or the managing of those particular funds. They are appropriately managed by the management team and under appropriate trust deeds and with appropriate trustees. So that is a situation where obviously there is a significant Chinese wall from the point of view of my involvement.
In fact, that wall is a lot more than a Chinese wall. It's a very real one.